Hi, I'm Brian Sullivan. I'm Security Program Manager with Microsoft. And here with me today is Adam Shostak, Senior Program Manager with Microsoft. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking about at Blue Hat this week.
So I'm excited to be talking about the SDL threat modeling processes and our new SDL threat modeling tool that we'll be releasing in November.
Excellent. So what in particular? I know we're here we're doing kind of a little counterpoint between our threat modeling process and then the EMC threat modeling process.
Mm-hmm.
So can you highlight any distinctions for me?
Sure. So Danny Dillon is going to be talking about the EMC processes, and then I'll explain ours and do a little compare and contrast. And our process, for people who aren't familiar with it, is step one is to draw a DFD diagram with trust boundaries.
DFD would be data flow diagram.
Data flow diagram. Step two is to use a method we call stride per element to identify threats. Stride is a set of spoofing, tampering, repudiation, information disclosure, denial of service, and elevation of privilege.
Very good.
And these are the sorts of threats that we typically see against our software.
Okay.
So step number three is to mitigate the threats that you find, and step number four is to validate your process. So EMC's process also starts with data flow diagrams. Instead of using the stride per element methodology, they have a set of 40 questions, which are divided by element type. They use a risk assessment process instead of a mitigation process. They're pretty similar. They're based on CVSS. Ours is based on the SDL bug bar. And then we have an explicit verify step. Their verify step is a little more implicit.
Okay.
So what I find really interesting about this is we both started from a very different point with a more complex process, a more expert-driven process. And we each experienced the same sort of pressures and the same sort of drivers. And actually, when I first opened up Danny's slides and looked at it, I emailed you and some other people and said, I'm not sure what the differences are here, because it was really so similar. And there were differences, but there were differences at a very detailed level. And that both surprised me a little bit, and then when I thought about it more, it made me very happy. Because it indicated that the sorts of problems that people out in the world, not at Microsoft, may have had with our threat modeling processes in the past, and did have, the solutions that the folks at EMC came to were similar to the solutions that we came to here. And that means anyone else trying to threat model is likely going to be able to successfully use these processes on their own applications to actually find and fix security bugs early.
Well, it kind of shows we're on the right track. If we independently come up with similar answers, hopefully that means we independently came up with the right answer.
Well, at least a right answer. You know, it works for us, it works for EMC, and I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing if it works for smaller shops, if it works for more web-oriented shops, if it works for, say, people doing hardware devices. You know, I'd like to see where those boundaries are, and I'd like to encourage our listeners to experiment a little bit and let us know how it goes.
Excellent. So you mentioned that we have a little bit more reliance on Stride than they do.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think this works for us, and as opposed to the direction they took?
I think we've been using Stride for almost 10 years. People at Microsoft are familiar with it. A lot of our bug tracking systems have Stride integrated into them. Our bug bar uses Stride. And so,
I mean, is it just a legacy concept at this point? Or is it really the best for the job? Maybe that's not mutually exclusive, but
I think that the long experience that we have with it makes it work really well for us.
Okay.
That's not to say it won't work well for other people. I'm of the belief that 40 is too many, that it might be tedious to read through a list of 40 questions and figure out which ones apply.
Okay.
I think that 6 is a good number. It's less than 7. You can keep it in short-term memory. We've got a nice mnemonic of Stride that you can remember and a little table that says where they apply. So I think there are some advantages to it, and I think that it works if you explain it to people clearly.
I think at a high level, a difference between our approaches, you talked about their 40 categories in our six, is that they look for specific categories, and we have more of an open-ended brainstorming type thing. Would you agree with that?
I think it's a little more open-ended. In our new tool, we give some pretty specific advice, but because of the breadth of products that Microsoft people work on and the breadth of things which we ship, we want a threat modeling methodology within the SDL that works for that whole breadth. One of the things that we're doing with the latest release of the threat modeling tool is that we have some customizability, so people can load in their own sets of guiding questions. So if you're on a product team and you want to make those questions more specific, more relevant to the people who are working on your product, you know that far better than we do on the SDL team. And now we have the ability to edit up an XML file and put in questions which work for your team. And so I think the specificity that EMC has is great. And we're actually spending a little bit of time here talking about, could we bring the two methodologies together? Can we classify their questions into stride categories? So there's a little bit of a framework, a little bit of teaching going on. As you go through, you apply these things, you start thinking about stride, you start discovering threats outside the formal threat modeling process. And I think that's a benefit of having a short, memorable list rather than a long list. The benefit to the long list is it requires a lot less expertise to use.
Great. Now, I know one of the challenges that we've both faced is the fact that if you have only security experts doing threat modeling, that doesn't really scale to companies of our size. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing to address that with the threat modeling tool?
Well, the goal of the threat modeling tool is to embed the intelligence that we've gained through 10 years of building threat models.
That's a tall order.
So it is, but it's a necessary challenge. So, for example, as you draw your diagram, we took 8 or 9 things that we often saw wrong in people's threat models and said, hey, you have this data flow that leads into a data store, but nothing ever reads from it. It's a data sink. What's going on? Common error, we now give people feedback as they're drawing the diagram. There was another thing that happened, which was people would draw their trust boundaries to cross a data store or to cross a process. And if you're a formalist, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You look at it and you say, what are you thinking? So I went and I asked people, what are you thinking? And it turns out they were thinking good things. They were thinking, hey, sometimes this process runs with admin privileges and sometimes it doesn't. They were thinking sometimes this data store, it's a database. It contains some really sensitive stuff and some not so sensitive stuff. And so they were actually expressing useful information. And so what we did there is we removed the guidance the validator used to say, don't cross that with a trust boundary. Now we train people and say, okay, you put a trust boundary across that. Make sure you blow that up. You explain it in another diagram where there isn't a trust boundary that's crossing these things.
Great.
And so it's really been a learning process to listen to the engineers who we ask to do this threat modeling, understand what pain points they encounter, and to work to fix them.
So when can we have it?
So
can you even tell us?
Of course I can tell you very soon. Inside the company, we're actually releasing a beta tomorrow.
Excellent.
Or excuse me, a release candidate tomorrow, and we'll be releasing the tool to the public in November.
Well, fantastic. So it'll be available via download on...
Via download off of MSDN.
Fantastic. And I'm sure we'll put a shout out on the SDL blog.
The SDL blog or Microsoft.com/SDL.
Excellent. Well, what else... What would you leave our audience with today as a takeaway from this? A call to action, if you will.
I think my call to action is really give threat modeling another chance. We've listened, we've responded, and we've made it better. So please, give it a shot, threat model your work, you'll find interesting and valuable security bugs when you do.
Fantastic. All right, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.